And a good evening to you, my sisters and brothers in Christ, saints and sinners, children of God. And what a lovely Wednesday evening. And I'm excited to be up here on Wednesday evening. For many of you know that we do a Vesper service here every Wednesday nights, and we had to cancel that because we got the sanctuary on Wednesday night, and we get to do a worship service here on Wednesday night, and it feels really good. Amen? And so, when we do things that a Christian is supposed to do, it lets people know who Christians are. It's a way of sharing the good news with others who are not in our little church community. It's a form of evangelism. And I want to tell you about the word evangelism, my sisters and brothers. Now, I just came from a conference where we discussed what evangelism was. Now, you might think of the word evangelical, and we all have this misconception of the word evangelical as those people who preach on street corners screaming hellfire and damnation at other people and saying that you are, you know, unless you give up your ways, whatever those ways may be, unless you say the magic words, then you are going to be condemned to hell for all eternity. Hellfire for all eternity. But I want to tell you, sisters and brothers, evangelism means to the word evangelical comes from the word the message, the messenger. And what the messenger is giving is the gospel. Who can tell me what gospel means? Good news. Good news. Where is the good news in saying you're going to hell? There's no good news in that. Now, our denomination, our Lutheran denomination, and, you know, we have a reputation for being a bit stodgy and quiet about our faith. We don't like to talk about our faith very much. So when we say the ELCA, sometimes we'll say, but the E is silent. ELCA stands for Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. And people get confused. They wonder, what does that mean? Because when we say evangelical, we're not talking about what America has come to understand as evangelical. So when they say, when they have these polls, they're talking about evangelicals who answer these polls. They're not talking about the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. They're talking about Pentecostal holiness. They're talking about Assemblies of God. They're talking about a very different group of Christians who practice their faith very differently than we do. Now, I'm not putting them down by any means. You know, I grew up in South Carolina. I spent a lot of my childhood in South Carolina, and I learned my Lutheran faith in South Carolina. And Lutherans, while there are a lot of us down there, we're a very significant minority. Because there's a lot more Methodists and Baptists and Pentecostals than there are Lutherans in South Carolina. And so I learned very early on that we were not whatever evangelical was. In fact, we weren't even called evangelical in those days. I come from a church that was one of the founding churches of the ELCA. We were an LCA church. And I think at least one of the churches, well, I think Lutheran Church of the Cross, was that LCA or was it ALC? Does anybody even know? Yes. It was an LCA church. You were here. It was an LCA church, but which just meant Lutheran Churches of America. So when I came back to this denomination, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, I was like, what? You know? And so that surprises people. But as we approach Ash Wednesday, people look at this gospel reading for today and say, wait a minute. Now, we're talking about hiding our faith. We're talking about hiding our practices. And here we are all walking around with crosses on our foreheads. That doesn't look like hiding anything. It's funny, somebody remarked, when we were out there at the North Berkeley BART station, and I at least see two people who were out there with us, somebody remarked, well, this doesn't exactly sound like what the gospel reading does, you know, about when Jesus says to do this stuff in secret. And here we are, kind of promoting ourselves and promoting our faith. Now the people that Jesus was talking to when he was giving his... And this is chapter 6 of Matthew, and this is part of... Now, I know you all who have been with me on Sunday mornings know that we've been doing this series on the Sermon of the Mount, and then we stopped at the end of chapter 4, but guess what? This is chapter 6 in Matthew, and this is still the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is talking. But it's interesting. The people that he's talking to are from a different... experience a different cultural life than we do today. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving are not something that is exclusive, though, to Jewish people or to Christians. We share this discipline with people of other faiths. But the key thing that we need to remember as people of Christ is that when we're doing these things, we're doing them not just for the sake of doing them. We're not doing them to impress our neighbors. We're not doing them to impress our friends. We're not doing them to look good to others. We're doing these things for the sake of our relationship with God. And we're not necessarily doing it to earn brownie points in heaven either. We're not necessarily, forget I even said necessarily, we're not doing it to earn brownie points in heaven. That is not the way, at least Lutherans, view doing the good works of Jesus Christ. We do it because of the God of love. Because we are loved, we love others. We can't help but love others. It's late. I've been at this all day today. And so the intolerant churches, these ones who want to tell everybody to love the sinner and hate the sin, the ones who like to pray the gay away, I don't know if anybody's ever heard that terminology before, it's something I used to hear a lot of, who stand in the pulpit and tell their parishioners who they should and should not vote for. I don't think I've never done that. I've never told anybody who not to vote for. And we, many of us in this progressive church movement, want to fit into that mold and say, but that's not who we are. We're not like them. But the church is one body, and Christ is the Lord of all. So the fact that we are not in full communion with other churches, the fact that other churches think that we're a little bit too liberal and maybe not even Christian to their liking because we tend to tolerate a lot more than others, and that we're not turning people away from receiving the sacrament because of their state of sin or the fact that they belong to another denomination. It doesn't make us better Christians. It's just what we are supposed to be doing. It's the way we believe that Christians are supposed to act. Not better than. We just do it because that's what we do. We can't say that we're better Christians than other people. I always hate it and say, well, I'm being Christian and they're not. I don't know if anybody's familiar with the No True Scotsman logical fallacy. I'm sure you are, Vance. I knew that you'd be shaking your head. You get into debates all the time. But no true Scotsman is when someone says, well, that person is not a true Scotsman because he doesn't wear a kilt, you know, for whatever reason. He can't possibly be a true Scotsman. So it's like, well, that person can't possibly be a true Christian because they're for sending people across the borders. Or they're against same-sex marriage, or therefore the death penalty. They can't possibly be a Christian because of that. And when we do that, we fail to acknowledge the fact that we are as broken and separated by God as any of the rest of them, no matter what denomination, no matter what body. And the only one that can fix that, the only person, the only being that can fix our brokenness is God. Jesus was talking to a different group of people back in those days. Now I want to think if Jesus is speaking this Sermon of the Mount, what kind of things that he would be saying today? You know, right? Do not share on Twitter that you just handed a dollar to a homeless person, or check in too frequently on the food bank like the hypocrites and the politicians do in order to receive praise and adoration. Just do it. God knows that you're doing it, and that's who really matters. Do not Instagram yourself in prayer and share your diligent meditations on Tumblr for all of your followers to see, like the football players and the pop music stars. God is the one who sees you praying in secret, and it's God who matters, not all your Tumblr followers. Do not Snapchat to tell everyone in the world and show them how proud you are of fasting and see how much weight I've lost, but that you are so famished you could eat a horse. And do not blog. Does anybody remember blogging? I think I remember. Do not blog how much difference it made keeping off of chocolate is doing for your figure. Your reward is not a body to die for. It is God who gives the rewards. And do not profit by these ruminations by using Google ads on your website, because the money saved up from those clicks will just be spent supporting your iPhone or Chromebook. But store up the treasures in heaven, where neither taxes nor service charges or overage fees apply. Because where your treasure is, that is where your heart is also. So when I fast, and I could eat a horse right now. I forgot that I had food in the office for when the sun went down, so I'm still kind of hungry right now. So when I fast, I don't do it to make myself look particularly like I'm fasting. It's to underscore the fact that fasting is done not for the benefit of other people. When I'm praying, I do it so that it doesn't matter who might be watching, because it's not for their benefit. It's not for them to see. And when I give money, I don't have to tell everybody what a good and generous person I am. I don't have to say, I've been giving money. I give money all the time. I really don't, but that's. But it's to help remember that I am a humble human being. And I am dependent on God's abundant love and God's care. So none of this at all is about keeping to ourselves or hiding our faith. It's not about keeping to ourselves or hiding our faith. It's not about making the E in evangelical silent, and I think we might get set off track because of that. It's only about making sure that when we do it, we're doing it for the right reasons. Not selfish reasons, not egotistical reasons, not to show everybody what wonderful, good Christians we are, not like those other Christians. It's not for that. We pray, we fast, we give alms, because there has got to be some time for us to take a step back in our lives and let God work on us and bring us back into alignment with Him. For us to realign our hearts and for us to become the people we're meant to be. Because in being the people we are meant to be, we are finally living into that kingdom that God has promised for us in the suffering death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that there is a kingdom for us there. And we don't have to wait for that kingdom to be the citizens of that kingdom, because Jesus rules us on earth. And that is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.